This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Finding more dead bodies in the wake of Hurricane Ida. And oh yeah, the Taliban is sticking it to us with big celebrations since the U.S. withdrawal. Hey, hey, everybody. Just another day in paradise. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us. Trust me, we will lighten the load as we move along on this show. If you've listened to me for any length of time, you know that's how I roll. If not, welcome to the party. Your opinion's always welcome. One of the best ways, we have an incredible mail team. All you have to do is email me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com, 24/7. Well, it seemed 24/7, like I said, with the celebrations and the dread the day after the troop withdrawal in Kabul, largely empty streets, suggesting that a lot of the Afghan people just were staying inside, and it marks the beginning of a whole new period of uncertainty of the wait-and-see variety. But let's just say, as I look into the history of the Taliban and have covered the Taliban since 9/11 and have had incredibly remarkable, I'll say, intelligent people on this show in the intelligence community who have informed me about terroristic threats, etc. I do not hold out high hopes that it's going to be a much different, gentler kind of nation. So President Biden gave a speech on Afghanistan talking about why the withdrawal was necessary, how he felt about the 20-year war, and moving forward. It was less than 3 minutes, and in case you missed it, we're going to let you hear it. Here is the president earlier in the day talking about Afghanistan.
The United States ended 20 years of war in Afghanistan, the longest war in American history. We completed one of the biggest airlifts in history, with more than 120,000 people evacuated to safety. The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals. And they did it knowing ISIS-K terrorists, sworn enemies of the Taliban, were lurking in the midst of those crowds. And still, the women and men of the United States military, our diplomatic corps and intelligence professionals did their job and did it well, risking their lives, not for professional gains, but to serve others, not in a mission of war, but in a mission of mercy. That assumption that the Afghan government would be able to hold on for a period of time beyond military drawdown turned out not to be accurate. But I still instructed our national security team to prepare for every eventuality, even that one. And that's what we did. So we were ready. We got thousands of Afghan translators and interpreters and others who supported the United States out as well. Now we believe that about 100 to 200 Americans remain in Afghanistan with some intention to leave. Most of those who remain are dual citizens, long-time residents who had earlier decided to stay because of their family roots in Afghanistan. So we're left with a simple decision. Either follow through on the commitment made by the last administration and leave Afghanistan, or say we weren't leaving and commit another tens of thousands more troops going back to war. That was the choice, the real choice. I was not going to extend this forever war, and I was not extending a forever exit. But I also know that the threat from terrorism continues in its pernicious and evil nature. But it's changed, expanded to other countries, Our strategy has to change too. We will maintain the fight against terrorism in Afghanistan and other countries. We just don't need to fight a ground war to do it. I believe this is the right decision, a wise decision, and the best decision for America. Thank you, and may God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
Boy, I'll second that. May God protect our troops and the people that helped us. So where are we now? Where are we left after this exit? The president committed to safe passage for the last 100 to 200 Americans. We don't exactly know how many. And then the question becomes, how do you get them out? So when some of the equipment was smashed at the airport, they made sure the American troops to make the tower and the runways and all that still operational, because after all, if the Taliban does let other Americans leave, they have to have a way to leave. They have to have a way to fly away from Kabul. So you got 90% of the Americans who were in Afghanistan that wanted to leave, were able to leave. That's the good news. But for the remaining Americans, there isn't any kind of a deadline, as we know and we've heard. So there is that. The Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, was pushing for diplomatic efforts to ensure that safe passage for any Afghan partner or foreign national who wanted to leave Afghanistan after the takeover by the Islamist Taliban. The international community is saying they're going to commit to holding Taliban leaders accountable for their promise to permit freedom of travel. The Taliban has made public commitments, broadcast on TV and radio and all that kind of stuff, for the safe passage for anyone wanting to leave. But it seems shaky to me. I'm just saying. So after the U.S. military-led evacuation started 17 days ago, the officials kept reaching out again and again and again and again, and they identified about 5,000 Americans who had decided to stay but now wanted to leave. So in the end, so many got evacuated. That is the good news there. But there are still some that are left, so we'll see if that safe passage actually holds up or not. How this goes down in history matters to the families who lost the brave men and women who served. We saw the bodies of the 13, the somber ceremony over the weekend, coming back to Dover Air Force Base. And once that reality sets in, oh, how tough is that? And I'll tell you how tough it is for people who served one tour, two tours, three tours, four tours, really put everything they had into this, is the VA suicide hotline got over 35,000 calls during the Afghanistan evacuation. 35,000 calls. Because you have to think about the sacrifice. You have to think about the horror of so many of fallen Marines and soldiers and from every service branch, what they saw, and the victims' stories. I mean, that many phone calls? Wow. And to put it in perspective, there were about 2,300 more calls in this two-week period than during the same two-week period last year, a 7% increase. Coming back, what did Ida leave behind in Mississippi and in Louisiana, and where is she headed next?
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival. and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
So far, what's happened with the floods in Mississippi and Louisiana, parts of Alabama, Tennessee feeling the effects, and the Northeast going to get hit pretty big by Ida in a much different way, mostly just pure rain, and it's how much will fall. The predictions in some cases are crazy. I heard a weather forecaster say today 15 inches. I was like, 15 inches? My goodness, that thing is going to hover if it really gets to 15 inches. And then I was thinking, maybe they were reading the teleprompter wrong. It's still going to be a lot of rain, but 15 inches, that's a whole different story. But before we dive into that, a sad story to report. This is part of the deal of me doing this show where you're not getting a repeat, which is what I love. You get up to date on what's happening. So search and rescue mission is happening after the U.S. Navy helicopter crashed off the San Diego coast. Unclear how many people were on board. According to the Navy, an MH-60S Seahawk chopper, which usually has like four crew, from what I understand. My Hubs was in the Navy, and that's what I understand that helicopter is about. It embarked aboard USS Abraham Lincoln, huge carrier, obviously, crashed into the sea while doing a routine flight operation about 60 nautical miles off the coast of San Diego. That happened late in the afternoon at about 4:30. So all kinds of Coast Guard, etc., are out searching. That's what it is at this point. And sad to hear that story, right? When things become, usually things run so smoothly, and when we hear of some kind of a training mission or something that would be fairly routine, it's never routine coming off and on a carrier. But when you hear something like that, you just think, oh man, gosh, that crew. And with where they were and having it crash, you can just only imagine. All right, let's talk about Ida and Ida's crash into the Gulf Coast. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you some specifics on a really sad story to set you up for. This is what happens, people, when you're in a swamp area and you get massive amounts of water. I'm going to tell you what happened to one guy, but four people in Louisiana and Mississippi have died in the wake of Ida. It's one of the strongest hurricanes we know to ever make landfall in that area. Many people listening to us in that area, if they have power. Or they have a backup generator. But normally, the crew from Louisiana is healthy. Two people were killed, 10 were injured late Monday after a 50-foot stretch of highway collapsed in George County, Mississippi, an area that had torrential rains in the past 24 hours. This is the kind of stuff that happens. Three of the injured were critical. That's the Mississippi Highway Patrol, their update. Earlier in the day, of all the deaths, I said two deaths in Louisiana were linked to the storm. A 60-year-old man who died in Ascension Parish when a tree fell on his home. I think people have heard that story. And a man who drowned after driving through a flooded road. That's why we always get hammered about flooded roads, right? But people were stuck, and what are you doing? You're trying to survive. So this story is terrible. A 71-year-old Louisiana man was presumed dead after a large alligator attacked him. An alligator. The man's wife said her husband, who wasn't immediately identified, was walking in floodwaters about noon when a gator got to him outside of their home, very close to their home, in Slidell. Now, that's the city on the northeast side of Lake Pontchartrain, just across from New Orleans. And the wife told deputies she was inside the house. She heard a commotion, went outside, saw the attack, and rushed to help her husband. She pulled him out of the water once the attack ended and went inside the house to get some first aid supplies because, of course, she realized the severity of the injuries. He lost an arm. So she's panicked but focused on trying to help. And when she went to get help, she went to get to higher ground to get to help, and when she returned, her husband was not lying on the steps any longer. So they are using boats and high water vehicles and all that stuff, and then it got dark, and they're still trying to search for him, but they haven't found him yet. That scares the bejesus out of me. And because it makes you realize, again, what you don't really know when you look at a hurricane and you think of, oh, wow, the winds and power lines going down and the roofs being ripped off of the tops of houses and awnings. But depending on the area, there's a prime example. And this is something that people maybe in other parts of the country don't realize how dangerous it is in the water, and then people are trying to get to safety, and there can be an alligator lurking, as sadly happened with this man, somebody who knew and understood that that can happen, but you're not thinking, right? You're not thinking that's going to happen. But the unthinkable happens. I mean, what a sad, sad story. And I think there's others, there are other stories that are going to unfold as we move along here. The highway collapse in Mississippi was awful, too. So the death toll is rising. You got a million people that are still without power. And we know what happened in New Orleans because of all the transmitter lines going down. So that was just a complete wipeout. And that's where you get those big numbers. And, I mean, to be in the dark, there's so many power crews that are working, and they're getting areas back up. Things are happening. There's no question about it. But it's going to take time to make that all come back. So it's all about this patience. There was 800 people that were rescued in St. John the Baptist Parish because of the way it went through there. You had New Orleans city websites went down because, you know, as they're trying to update people and all that other sort of stuff, because, again, of the severity of what happened there. So the city is communicating with people through social media. That is the good thing about social media for people who don't like it. And text message alerts. So they are getting that. Otherwise, they couldn't go to a website because that happened during the day. And now I checked, and NOLA.gov was up. So that's the good thing. But when people are, you know, frantically trying to find out where do they go for help, what can they do, they're struggling, you know, they go to all those places. So some of the worst certainly has happened. And I think, again, a lot of this will unfold, keep unfolding in the next couple of days, you know, with this Ida storm path and all those other states that are in the middle of wanting to prepare for the wrath of Ida. Because it is going to look, if you look at a map, it is, I looked at a weather map today. I did the weather for like 2 seconds in Nebraska when I first got out of school, and one of my first jobs in a place called Kearney, Nebraska. But I did learn a little bit about the weather, reading maps and that kind of stuff. But the reach of Ida in the northeastern United States, what it's going to do is give that significant flood risk. And, you know, you look at Tennessee, same thing, and they are dealing with, I mean, Tennessee is already got way too much rain. And that tremendous amount of rain pouring down from portions of the central Appalachians to the mid-Atlantic and New England, I mean, that's life-threatening, damaging floods. So even after Ida moves off the New England coast later on Thursday, people in the Northeast might still feel the storm in the couple of days that follow that. And if you look at the one area I'm talking about, you got about 80 million, some of you are listening to us, 80 million Americans, my friends, who live along that 1,200-mile stretch of the U.S. under that flash flood warning on Tuesday morning. So you had Boston, New York City, Philly, Washington, D.C., and Atlanta that were all in the wake of this. Intense as it's jumping into this jet stream, which adds that, you know, causes the air pressure at the center of Ida to drop, and then that intensification can lead to the heavier rain across parts of those areas that I mentioned. And, you know, it's that 12 to 18 hour period that it can be awful and can get really intense in the last, they're saying, maybe 6 hours. Could be 4 to 8 inches, northern West Virginia, southwestern Pennsylvania, northern New Jersey. Yeah, that's kind of one of those wait and see things. So elevated risk for flash flooding. Beware if you're listening to me in any of those places. We're going to your thoughts next as we hit the mailbag.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Louisiana's governor is telling those who evacuated the state ahead of Hurricane Ida to stay away until infrastructure can be restored. Governor John Bel Edwards said Tuesday that much of the state's life-supporting infrastructure elements are not operating and that people shouldn't return until they are. Thousands remain without power across Louisiana and Mississippi, including much of New Orleans, as heat and humidity settled into the area, bringing with it heat indexes of over 100 degrees. Power supplier Entergy has said that some of the hardest-hit areas could go without electricity for at least 3 more weeks. And after weeks of delays, the Texas legislature has approved a controversial elections reform bill that caused the Democratic members of the Texas House to flee to Washington, D.C. to deprive the body of a quorum. After the bill passed the House, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said in a statement that he would sign it into law. You're listening to USA Radio News. After the last U.S. troops left Afghanistan on Monday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that around 100 Americans were still in the country. Critics of the withdrawal have pointed to statements President Biden has made about not leaving before all American citizens have gotten out. Congressman Peter Meyer says that the number of Americans left behind show how bad the execution of the withdrawal has been. The Michigan Republican says that the mission cannot end.
We've seen a significant number of folks on both sides of the aisle who are furious, who are frustrated with the way the Biden administration has handled this. Again, you know, there were many opinions on the withdrawal. I was supportive of the withdrawal, but when it comes to judging this execution, there are very few folks who can say that the Biden administration handled this well. And the fact that we have to continue to go back, we have to continue to focus on getting all of our American citizens and all of our loyal Afghan allies who are trapped there out, this is something that is our mission today. Again, this mission is not over.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
We do have mail, tons of mail, so thank you. Once again, 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Best way, because I know you listen to this show, you consume it in many, many, many different ways. That's the world we live in, right? Hopefully on these fabulous affiliates where you're hearing me at different times. Of course, we have many different time zones in the U.S., or maybe you're listening to a rebroadcast. But anyway, welcome and thanks, and it's always full. I mean, I have never went to the mailroom and just heard crickets. Never. Never, 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 never. So fascinating to me. All right, let's go to this one. This one is from Sue, who says, Ms. Delaney, I listen to your show a lot. A friend of mine in New England told me about it, in New Hampshire, in fact. And once I found it, I got addicted to it. So sometimes I have to wean myself off of you just because I'm not getting some of the reading that I want to get done and some of the crossword puzzles. Although I am not a retiree, I am still working. I find that you make me laugh and you fill in the blanks for me, the gaps, because I don't like to watch the television news. I heard you mention a station that you are on in New Orleans, and my sister used to live in New Orleans and she still has family there, so I told her about your show and about the Ringside show. You mentioned Jeff Cruer, the longtime talk show host that you really liked, who was on there. And I bet you they are all now just scrambling and looking in some ways for lifeboats, because depending on where they lived, as you know and you've talked about, it's they either kind of dodged things and had a little damage, or it was much worse than expected. Is that what you've found? Absolutely, you nailed it. And thanks for the shout-out to Jeff Cruer, who's on WGSO 990 AM, one of my great affiliates right there in New Orleans. And, we actually we talked about being on each other's shows. He's been on my show, and I think I've been on his show. It's been a while, but I've been on his show too. But right now, the focus, of course, is all on Ida and what's happening with the city and getting power restored and all those things that are happening there. And I have some friends that live there, and I have one friend who lives just north, just a little bit north of New Orleans. And his house was, he and his wife went to Chattanooga, and his house is a little higher up. So he built it a little higher up because of the possibilities. And of course, his whole like front yard came back. The whole front yard is just is like a lake, but that's the flooding. But the house that, you know, that didn't get that damage that so many others did. And see, that was part of the lesson, I think, of Katrina. If the rebuild efforts, when they were happening, it was about getting the houses higher up, right, on the stilts. And I saw that because of Sandy in New Jersey, because Sandy really hit New Jersey and New York and some other places, but especially the shorelines. So in building the houses, the new code was you had to have them higher so that you wouldn't end up in that situation, right? But you never know what a hurricane's going to do and how much of a surge you're going to get and what's happening with the tides or what's happening with, like, the Mississippi going reverse. Who thinks that? When do you see the Mississippi doing a reverse? It was crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, and thanks for listening. Okay, so let's move on to another one. This one is from Clinton, and Clinton says, Kate, it broke my heart to see what happened in the execution, not from the soldier's point of view, as you were also saying throughout the entire time when you described the exit of the war, but just to think about 20 years spent there and to think about the people that were being helped and the change of life for so many of those people, because it certainly changed for women and it definitely changed as far as some of the progress as to what they had in Afghanistan, even in those super rural areas. And now it was like all for naught because you've got the Taliban back in place. And how much do you really, really trust that this is a different kind of Taliban, as you've said? What have they updated? We know their fanatical beliefs. I find it so hard to believe that the reign that they had from the mid-90s to the 2001 is going to be any different. Well, I'll tell you what, if you think about that time period, Clinton, and everybody else listening, it was brutal. I mean, extreme religious mandates, crazy public executions, women being stoned all over the place, terrible, terrible restrictions for women and girls, the worst. And not just them, I mean, just in general. So now they're saying, oh, no, they're not going to be discriminated this time around. And it's going to be just, just a different kind of regime. And few of the Taliban's members who did rule in 2001 are alive or in power. So who is the new Taliban, right? A couple of those in place would be like if you looked at Abdul Baradar. He was a name that just kept coming up. He was a negotiator for peace talks in Qatar and is the organization's political leader. He was one of the original founders of the Taliban. He was put in prison in 2010 in Pakistan before being released in 2018 at the request of our government, the U.S. government, so he could serve as the group's leader in peace talks. So he showed up in Afghanistan for the first time in more than a decade. And he was there for the celebration because there was fireworks and fanfare and all of that. And he's probably going to become the next leader and form some sort of government. What that relationship's like with the United States or anyone else, again, you know, flip a coin, but I would love to say I'm hopeful, but I'm not hopeful. And I understand when you say it's just heartbreaking to think of knowing people who served, knowing what they did, and some of the incredible stories they had to tell about rescuing people, helping build roads, working with schools, doing all kinds of things. And then to see the country slip backwards, yeah, awful. Okay, this one is from Thomas, and Thomas says, hi, Kate. A lot of times I listen to you when I'm running earlier in the day or when I'm working out at night when you're actually on the air live. It just depends. Like everyone else, I live in opposite land since we don't necessarily have clocks in a sense. And I was wondering if you feel that there is some comparisons in the world we live in now because of the pandemic to what it was like when you lived in Vegas. What, that every day is a gamble and who knows? What are the odds? I think I know what you mean because you made that reference about the clock. When you live in Las Vegas, there really is a weird time suck. I think that's what you're referring to. It's that there's something about it, because, of course, they don't want to have clocks on the walls in the casinos because they want people to keep gambling. So, yes, it is kind of like you're in a different world because, you know, you can get dry cleaning at 4 in the morning or eat lobster and filet mignon at 4 in the morning as well. There's always something open. And so you do live a different kind of life depending on what you do, but even with whatever you do, it's a different kind of life. And so if you're referring to that, where it is like we do live in opposite land, it is a little bit like that. You know, it's interesting too, you say Las Vegas, because I was just reading a story that gambling in the pandemic, during the pandemic, is up. And, you know, What sort of depression? What problems with jobs? Yes, gambling was impacted, right? Internet gambling, it was available. People were doing that. And actually, there was just an increase across the board. And so that's the, you know, that was the impact. 79% of gamblers reported no change during the lockdown. 11% maybe decrease, but there was a 9% increase. And even with Vegas, so sports betting skyrocketed in the pandemic. I mean, just skyrocketed. In fact, there was a lot of warning about that, you know, people are living on the edge, kind of like that opposite deal that you were talking about, that, people go crazy. They're winning and then they're emptying accounts and 401ks and, you know, all this kind of stuff because they're stressed and it takes their mind off it with the whole, you know, gambling thing. So I guess you got to watch, right? If this is something that sets you off and it increases what you're doing to the point of you're endangering yourself or your family, well, that's a whole different thing. All right, let's squeeze in another one. This one is comes to us from Jan, who is listening in Connecticut. And Jan says, hey, Kate, I'll tell you what, it is really tough times out there. I look at the people affected with no power, no flights, terrible drinking water, no drinking water, alligator attacks, and everything else that's going on in Louisiana or parts of Mississippi, and sad. And then the West being on fire. You talked about Lake Tahoe just being a slice of heaven and now so threatened by this massive fire and so many people having to evacuate. And the roads are all clogged up and that it's a scramble to even get away. And they see chunks of ash just falling. And then what happened with Afghanistan, sadly, the 13 that were taken way too soon. We need some levity. And for that, I would say you got to turn to some of the comedy shows on Netflix and some of the stand-up. Do you have a favorite stand-up? Oh, I have a ton of them. Kathleen Madigan is hilarious. Talk about the Midwest and the South. She's funny. Stay with us.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
For this hour of the show, Kate Delaney. Hey, hey, everybody. How's it shaking where you are? Homeschooling, Social Security, a Starbucks union, and scary movies. Very popular on the big screen. People are crawling out to see the scary movies, all part of what's on tap. So let's talk first about homeschooling. You know, I know a couple people who homeschool, and I didn't realize they homeschooled until I started having a conversation with them about going back to school. So lots of parents, because of the arguments with the school boards over masks and vaccines and everything else, they're not happy with some of the traditional schools and, of course, the fear of exposing their kids to coronavirus. And that has to be weakening the struggling public education system. It would have to be. So nearly 2.6 million kids have switched from traditional schooling to homeschooling since the pandemic began. This is from Bellwether Education Partners. It was a report that they did. So the total number of homeschooled kids, and it could be more, it could be a little bit less, but they peg it at about 5 million. 5 million. Even the census data says 11% of U.S. households are now homeschooling. So, you know, it's interesting. So for the first time in modern history that I can remember so much of that conversation, parents got a chance to see what their kids' education was like up close and at home. And when they needed help with work and what, you know, their homework and what was actually happening with Zoom calls and all of that. We had a celebrity on the show when the pandemic was first unrolling, Kevin Sorbo, if you know who he is. And he has been in so many movies, and great guy. And he lives in Southern Florida, and they've always homeschooled his kids, and they're older. They're like teenagers going to college if they go on to college. And he said, I don't understand why, when you look at how the education system is, and especially if you're smart, you know it, you've got it, why wouldn't you homeschool? And I think that's the attitude for lots of people. So there were people that were doing it anyway, but then because of the fear of coronavirus, of what could happen and what was happening with teachers and all that other sort of stuff, it led to that. And it's interesting. The education system, I think, is not innovative enough, although they've been forced to do some things because of the virus. So they had to do lots of Zoom calls and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, when you have kids, you worry about what are they learning and what are they taking away from that experience that they can apply as they go into adulthood, of whether they go on to college or they go on to some kind of a trade, right? That's part of it, absolutely. So that was interesting numbers, I thought. Speaking of numbers, horror movies has been very consistent throughout this pandemic. Over the weekend, Candyman debuted with $22 million in domestic sales, and that surpassed the expectations because the fears of the Delta variant and people not going back to the cinemas. But there is something about scary movies, especially with younger people. That's pretty big, right? And part of that $22 million, that was domestically. There was another $5.2 million in international markets. And, I mean, this is a slasher film. It was written by Jordan Peele. And it was directed by Nia DaCosta. So it definitely worked, right? And it's interesting because movie theaters are struggling to get momentum since reopening last year. And what's the problem? Of course, it's all the things related to the pandemic, but also what is the offerings? So horror films don't usually have to make as much at the box office to turn a profit because they don't have big budgets usually, right? They don't have big budgets. Like Candyman, they had an estimated budget of $25 million, so they'll easily make that up, no problem. And then you look at Paramount had A Quiet Place 2, which was originally delayed because of the pandemic, and that's hit $300 million globally since it was released in late May. And what was the budget for that? $22 million. So they're making some money, so expect that more horror movies will be made. If you don't like horror movies, boy, you're out of luck, huh? You are. All right, speaking of what's on tap, Mike Richards is no longer the executive producer of Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. He was booted. Yeah. So he was tapped to succeed Alex Trebek, and then he stepped down amid the scrutiny of the comments he made on this podcast he had about Jewish people, poor people, women, all of that. And there was too much of it that was out there, so he resigned, and then Sony Pictures thought, yeah, we can't do this. So they're looking for a host. They're looking for an executive producer. Know anyone good? Who knows? There was just too much backlash about the comments. And, you know, how many of the episodes had comments and what were the comments? And, you know, that's all out there. And it was reported. And he didn't deny any of that. But they didn't want to own that. They didn't want to own anything that was going to get them all of this criticism, this avalanche of criticism that they were facing. So how about Social Security and what's going to happen? What's going to happen is Social Security costs expected to exceed the total income in 2021 because COVID-19 has taken a financial toll. So the trust fund, trustees say, they are taking such a hit that the trust fund is now expected to be depleted in 2034 unless Congress does something to shore up the program. What do you think they're going to do to help the program? Well, think of the money you've paid in. You know what? Bush 2, as I call him, which would be George W. Bush, one of the things that was out there, was floating around. I remember having a brief conversation even with him about it, is when we hit a recession, I remember him talking about, well, I remember everybody got a check, but I remember him talking about, what if you could just control, you just get the money back, basically, and you invest it. Boy, that option is looking really good, right? Get the money back for the money that you put in already, or lose all the money because we're broke and the costs are exceeding the total income. So, you know, all those years when you're working in the donut shop at 16 and you were throwing papers and you had your checks and you had to have the money taken out. And then, of course, you got the real job and, oh, I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. So to form a union or not, Starbucks workers are launching a campaign. That's what's on tap for them, at least in one area, to form a union. Workers at three coffee shops in the Buffalo area filed petitions with the National Labor Relations Board asking for a vote on union representation. That's kind of the latest development because of working conditions and what's happening with wages and, you know, all that stuff. And so the reason, though, is because, you know, Starbucks does take care of their employees with all kinds of, there's all kinds of benefits and you could get health insurance if you wanted it. But now we're in that pandemic world, right? So what do you have? You have understaffing, unpredictable scheduling, insufficient training because there's not enough people. So that's why these people organized, about four dozen of them, organized and decided, yeah, we sent a letter to the Starbucks president. We wanted some assurances that employees who favor a union won't face reprisals. So the company said they respect partners' rights to organize but believe they would not find it necessary given the pro-partner environment, which is what I would say, pro-partner environment, except for, again, what happens when you are understaffed and you have these insane hours and it makes just no sense whatsoever? What do you do? How do you bounce back from that? Because that's what you've got, and nobody wants that, right? But that's part of patients paying. Let's see what happens. Ba 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 ba. And that's, you know, pretty much, I think, what's happening in the restaurant, hospitality industry, and so many others as well. Well, big shout out to Eric Salazar. This is his last show with me. Speaking of people who produce, he certainly has produced. What a great partner he's been for me on the technical side of this show, without a doubt. Eric, will miss you. Good luck in New Mexico, and thanks to all of you for listening to this hour. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.